Hello and welcome to the first Outside the Box cast of 2022. I'm Leo and today I'm joined by
Joe.
Today we're going to the track for a full F1 special where we recap the season just come and make some bold predictions for the exciting season to come. So there's only one place to start. It definitely was a season like no other. Some moments of great controversy right until the last lap of the season.
Moments of great happiness and heartbreak, and it was a whirlwind of a season. And of course, Max Verstappen claimed his first world championship during the 2021 F1 season, narrowly edging out Lewis Hamilton after last lap controversy during the season's final race. Mercedes won the constructors, and there were six race winners, including a first time race winner.
I mean, it's always going to be a spectacular race when it's the last race of the season and the two championship contenders are on equal points.
But let's be honest, we never thought something like that was going to happen.
No.
And that the FIA would have such a big role in who actually won.
It is a very big talking point, because obviously, especially as it was a championship contending last lap strategy sort of thing. And either way you look at it, you know, if Mercedes had pitted Hamilton for those softs, then Red Bull would have stayed out and had the track position, but not had the softs. So either way you put it, you know, I think the main reason Hamilton didn't win was it was a huge strategy error by the Mercedes analysts. And if they'd have just brought Hamilton in, he'd have either been on the same set of tyres as Verstappen, or he would have held track position. So, you know, either way you look at it, Mercedes analysts were sort of in the wrong, I think. And if they'd have done it differently, Hamilton could have won. But that is F1, you know, it changes all the time.
Yeah, many people think if it wasn't for that safety car, Verstappen wasn't ever going to get the win.
He wouldn't have won without that safety car. He would have deserved to win because, you know, he's led more laps than the rest of the field combined. But he wouldn't have won. And, you know, that is what racing is, you know. There are safety cars.
Yeah, that's the thing with Verstappen. He's very accident-prone. He'll lead and lead and lead, but then you never know. He can get into a crash.
The amount of places... He's either won a race or DNF'd pretty much this season. You know, looking at races like Azerbaijan, he's leading with five laps to go. Tire puncture, it wasn't his fault, but, you know, he did spin out.
Yeah.
So many races where if he'd have just finished at least, you know, that wouldn't have been in this situation for the last race. But, you know, as an F1 fan, I'm not complaining, as that was an incredible last race and one of the greatest of the decade.
Where does it rank on F1 seasons for you, this one?
I think because in the recent turbo hybrid era, I think it has been one of the best, because it hasn't just been one team that's run away with it, i.e. Mercedes. So I definitely think it's up there in terms of that reason. But yeah, a load of young drivers getting their first win, or, you know, high podiums. So that's always good as well.
Yeah, a lot of controversy and lots of skirmishes between Mercedes and Red Bull, both on and off the track as well.
Yeah, the clash between Christian Horner and Toto Wolff. So definitely some big moments there. And
I mean, Toto throwing his headset right at the end kind of sums up the season, doesn't it?
Boza no longer a partner of Mercedes, I think, because of that. But yeah, there was a load of behind the back, you know, it was almost schoolboy, not banter, but schoolboy behaviour from both of them in some places.
And who would have thought Nicholas Latifi would have such a massive role in who won the title?
Yeah, you know what, like, Nicholas Latifi basically decided, I think Red Bull definitely will buy him a few beers. But
you reckon he was paid?
No, definitely not.
Williams did need the points, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't mean to spin out. It just one of those things that happen and is a bit annoying for the team that lost. Well,
I wish it was Mazza's spin instead, though.
He would have been kicked out of F1 permanently. Oh dear.
No, his dad would have just bought it.
Yeah, his dad would have bought F1. Yeah, so Max Verstappen won 10 races, started from pole on 10 occasion, broke the record for the number of podium finishes during an F1 season, with 18 all first or second places. Verstappen also led the most laps throughout the season with 652.
Incredible, that's actually incredible.
Ridiculous. Which is more than, as I said previously, the combined laps led by all other drivers.
I mean,
this
you
season.
Think of all the other ones, like Esteban Ocon led an entire race, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hamilton, of course, would have led a lot of laps. Checo, Bottas, you have lots of people who have led throughout the season, but this one man has just on his own has got beaten all of them. It's a joke.
Definitely. But, you know, this season is so much more than that last race of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Some definite highlights for me. The dramatic Azerbaijan Grand Prix. You know, Sergio Perez getting his first win for Red Bull. Huge race there. Because, you know, it's not the usual Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas. Not in that order. But it was other drivers that we don't see on the podium that much. And it was great to see.
Should we talk about these races, though? Because we're going to move on to the next segment now. The OTB F1 Awards.
Yep. So, race of the season, we'll be almost going back to where we were before.
Exactly.
So, Joe, you've gone with Monza here.
I have gone with Monza. Personally, I just think, like, with the amount of controversy and everything that happened, and then the way it finished, everyone loves McLaren, let's be honest. Daniel Ricciardo, Lando Norris, they're such...
Fan favourites.
Such legends.
Yeah.
And Monza, as itself, never fails to disappoint it. With the Tifosi, of course, Ferrari. Second sprint style race of the season. Ricciardo jumped Max at lights and kept lead for the rest of the race with Norris pulling up the rear. Major talking point was not McLaren 1-2, nor the Shuey, but the controversial collision, though. And this is what makes it the race for me. How it, like, this is where you see the rivalry at its boiling point, I believe, in Monza when... Hamilton comes, well, no, I think it was Verstappen, wasn't it?
Verstappen comes into the back. Around the outside.
And then Hamilton nearly gets hit in the head. And we also see here the importance of the halo in F1 as it blocks the tyre from hitting Hamilton's head,
Yeah, halo just showing its benefits of being there again.
But then,
flashbacks to Spa, one of the first few races it was implemented. That crash, I mean, it was both drivers' fault, really. Hamilton could have gone tighter. Verstappen could have pulled out. You know, they're both competitive racers, both racing for the championship. So neither one of them is going to pull out in that situation.
I mean, my answer is pretty common as well, as 19% of F1 fans voted for this as their favourite of the season.
Yeah.
And then also Valtteri Bottas perhaps putting in one of his best performances in a Mercedes shirt, going from P19 to P3.
Huge race. Yeah, not many drivers can say they've done that.
Extremely impressive.
And, of course, McLaren's first race win since Brazil.
Incredible. It's so big for them. And they're on the rise now. You can see, hopefully they'll be back to their glory days very soon.
Yeah. But, you know, we also said goodbye to two drivers this season. Kimi Raikkonen retiring after 19 seasons in F1.
Yeah.
His teammate, Antonio Giovinazzi, whose contract was not renewed by Alfa Romeo. Kimi holds the record for the most race starts in F1 with 349 and is a true legend of the sport, which I think all F1 fans will miss.
What a legend, yeah. I mean, I've seen him on the F1 YouTube channel. He just seems like just such a cool bloke as well, in general.
The Iceman. We'll never see everyone else warming up his tyres than Kimi driving straight down the track, not even caring.
So, do you want to go on to your race of the season in the F1 Awards?
My race of the season. So we've got Azerbaijan, I think, fastest street circuit in the world. Although Jeddah has that title now. But it's one of the fastest street circuits in the world, that's for sure. With some incredible long straights and some very nippy corners through the church area. But the main reason this race stood out for me is not the usual top three. You know, usually we've got some Red Bulls, some McLarens, definitely some Ferrari sometimes. But for this, you know, it was... So Checo, P1, Vettel, P2, and Gasly, P3. You know, Checo getting his first race win, that's big enough in itself. But Vettel coming from 11th to 2nd to get his first podium and Aston Martin's first podium. Huge race from him, just, you know...
How many more seasons do you reckon we're going to get out of him?
I hope as many as possible, because he's such a good driver.
Four,
you know.
Five? Or is that a bit too much? I think three.
I think he could probably do four or five. I definitely think he could. You know, he's decently fit still. And, yeah, he could do that. But I think another huge talking point from this race is the massive crash Max had. Five laps to go, puncture with his right rear, I think, into a wall at 200 miles an hour. Safety car was called out and then quickly moved up to a red flag. So you've got a red flag situation, five laps before the end. You always know there's going to be some chaos. You know, everyone's bunched up, everyone's on fresh tyres, and everyone wants to get as many places as possible. So that first corner was incredibly aggressive. We've got Hamilton, who was running either P1 or P2, having a huge lockup, going straight off the track, who ended up finishing P15. But it was at that point, you know, the final three managed to get through. And, oh, just what a race.
Yeah, and a special shout-out to the Hungarian Grand Prix, where Esteban Ocon won his first Formula One Grand Prix after Valtteri Bottas took several drivers out in Turn 1. Big plays from him.
Yeah, not only did he take out both Red Bulls, but and a McLaren.
Yeah, it's going to be sad to not see him at Mercedes anymore. Of course, he did win his last race in Turkey, bringing up to double figures for wins in his career. But I think he's going to be missed a lot by Mercedes. If yeah. Russell doesn't settle in well, then it could be a problem.
Yeah.
Could it have been the right move?
Yeah, I think Mercedes, how it's working at the minute with Lewis, there's always a number one and number two driver, and I don't think Bottas fully realised that before he went into the Mercedes garage. So, moving on to the next section of the OCB F1 Awards, we have Driver of the Season. So, for this one, obviously, we're not going to pick the top two of Hamilton and Verstappen. So, Joe, let's get you starting this one off.
Well, I think there's only one choice for me this season. Did he finish third? I think he made
fourth.
Fourth. He came fourth. But Checo, Sergio Perez, what a driver, the perfect teammate, and fourth in the constructors. Fourth in drivers, which is solid positioning as well. But it's just the way, like, is it Abu Dhabi where he absolutely fends off Hamilton and then allows Max to pass him, and then you hear the radio of, like, Checo, what a legend. Yeah. I mean, that just sums him up.
The way I describe Checo is the perfect teammate, because, you know, he's a team player and he sacrificed probably his position in that race to slow Hamilton down so Verstappen could catch up. It was a tactical masterclass from Red Bull, and it worked perfectly. And, you know, the radio afterwards, as he said, with Verstappen was just...
He was ecstatic,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
What, just like, what a guy. And it's, you know, it's not just Abu Dhabi. He's defended Hamilton incredibly, as we'll touch on later.
I don't know if this is right here, but it says best second driver of all time.
So I say second driver here as
teammate. Yeah,
as,
well,
like the after this number season, one, number two driver.
After this season, I think he's got to be looked at as one of the best.
Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, it's such a huge, huge teammate performance from him all season.
In my opinion, he is the most underrated driver in F1. Doesn't get enough recognition whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he got enough recognition to get into
Red Bull,
but they've been keeping him hidden at Racing Point for all these years now.
All these years.
So, for my driver of the season, and this may sound a little biased, but it is Lando Norris. You know, it has been his breakout season. You know, a few seasons in the past, he's been struggling a bit. You know, McLaren's car pace hasn't been, you know, the best. But, you know, this season they've got a much better car, and I think he matured a lot when it came to driving. You know, but he still has got that cheeky character, which everyone does love.
And the Twitch, of course.
Yeah, of course. Got to get that Twitch Prime for him. So, you know, he used both his team and his car as much as possible. So he's, you know, staying late with his, you know, engineer, trying to find out, you know, how am I going to get this car around and perform in it as best as possible. So, you know, he focused up so much this year. And I think that's why he is my driver of the season. You know, he took pole in Russia. His qualifying laps in Imola and Austria, you know, he's on the front row at Austria, were some of the best this season. You know, he's a really good driver. And, you know, he should have won in Sochi. But, you know, McLaren's strategy, missing that second rain, and unfortunately he couldn't hold on and spun out with that few laps left to go. That was heartbreak. But it definitely doesn't take away from the fact that he probably should have won that race and definitely deserved to. So that's why I've gone for him.
Yeah, if I didn't go for Checo, he was going to be my guy.
Yeah.
Such a great character as well.
Yeah. And I feel like he, you know, even if he didn't come fifth in the Drivers' Championship, beaten by Sainz in the last race, I feel like he's just the level of improvement from last year to this year has just been huge. So I think that's why he gets it.
Yeah, in my eyes, I think the wrong McLaren driver won the race this year. Personally, I think Lando deserved a race win over Ricciardo.
Yeah.
It's what it is, I guess.
Yeah, to be fair, like, Ricciardo's another one who is definitely going to be one to watch this next year, I think. So, going to move over to the battle of the season. Joe, you're going to kick this one off?
Yep, I've gone for Checo versus Hamilton at Abu Dhabi. Of course, I've already mentioned it, but it takes a lot of skill to hold off a 7-time champion in Lewis Hamilton for that amount of time, and to do it so well and then allow your teammate to pass and go on to win the race. I mean, that's just what puts it over for me.
Yeah,
with Checo.
You know, he was on old softs as well. He was on very old softs against Hamilton. He's on fresh tyres. And to hold on as long as he did and to even fight back in one of the corners and get back ahead.
That's
to delay him by another straight. You know, incredible driving.
Not let him get the clear air at all.
Yeah, exactly. And then he slowed down to allow Verstappen to get the DRS to leapfrog him and catch up to Hamilton as well. It was a masterful play.
I think you've also gone for the same battle, but just in a different location.
Perez versus Hamilton, but this time we're in Turkey in the wet. So I think both on intermediate tyres, the track was still pretty on the wet end of damp. And, you know, it was a battle that went on for so many corners and finished with Hamilton squeezing him very well off the track. But still, it is one of the battles that I think will, you know, go down as one of the main battles for this season, especially with Red Bull rocking the beautiful white livery.
Yeah, that was nice to see.
So, moving on now to overtake of the season. Joe, do you want to kick us off with this one?
And I've still got Checo in my mentions, except he's the one getting overtaken by Charles Leclerc in Austria, both with DRS, but Leclerc was behind Checo. Leclerc then goes on to get the slipstream, going past the outside, but then Perez with a dive down the inside, but little did he know Leclerc had pretty much juked him and delivered a perfect switch to get in front of him again. And the way I commentate it here, like, without even watching it, it just does sound like one of the best overtakes you could possibly do. And the way he delivers it at the perfect moment, it does show he has the skill of he has the skill, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was a very mature overtake to know that Perez is going to dive on that inside in a desperate attempt to stay ahead, and just that perfect switch back on the inside, very well done from him.
Yeah, he's definitely also another one to watch. If Ferrari get their car right, then, you know.
McLaren. Oh, dear. So I've gone for Verstappen on Mercedes, and I say Mercedes here because after the front row lockout of Bottas and Hamilton, Verstappen somehow wiggled his way through the outside. You know, all the Mercedes analysts thinking about all these different scenarios, Bottas was clearly told, you know, make life as simple as possible for Hamilton.
How many times have we heard that before?
A surprise, surprise, the tune of Mercedes. But in doing so, he forgot to keep an eye on the little rascal in the Red Bull.
I like how I've named him, little rascal.
Little rascal in the Red Bull on his outside. And as the Mercs deployed their parachutes in unison, Verstappen round the outside on the cleaner racing line, kept on cannoning towards turn one before swinging around the outside of the both of them. Toto Wolff and another headset gone there.
That just sounds, the way you described that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. Like, I thought mine was good, but
yeah, it was perfect, a beautiful perfect overtake and masterfully done.
Might have a career in F1 commentary, Leo. Ever thought about that?
Might take over from old Crofty. No, maybe one day. So, moving on to the other segment we have now, it's the driver to watch.
Moving on to next season.
You know, moving into the 2022 season, we've got a huge new set of regulations, which basically means all the team have a spending budget. So it is going to, you know, bring these teams like Haas and Williams up a lot more on level. with Mercedes in terms of the car development side of things.
So how does this work? Can you explain it to me? Would the bigger teams still have the better cars? Will they still have a better?
Like, yeah, I think they'll still have a better car, but it's the gap between cars is going to be a lot less. So it's going to be a lot more competitive racing. It's going to be a lot more overtakes. It's going to be, and it's going to be faster as well, because these cars are a lot more efficient.
I mean, I saw an interview with George Russell, who I'm going to talk about in a bit. He said that there might be 5 contenders for the constructors this year. That's what he believes.
It's going to be incredibly tight, and we are going to see who the best driver is here. It's going to be a good one.
I'm just going to quickly pull out a big shout before I do my drive to watch. Sebastian Vettel is extremely skillful, isn't he?
Yeah, I think Sebastian Vettel's in for a good shot here, and I was very tempted to put him as my driver to watch. I think we do have to mention him in the fact that, you know, he's a full-time world champion in an almost equal car to the bigger teams now, so I think he's definitely
and
got
the
a
likes
good
of
shot.
Fernando Alonso as well with that experience.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like these old dogs could come back.
The golden oldies. Maybe Kimi should have stayed one more season.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think Kimi cares enough, to be honest, anymore. He's had his time, and I think he wants to go have a good life now.
All right, on to my driver to watch, and I did just say him, George Russell, who has just signed for Mercedes in a massive move. He's performed really well in the extremely slow Williams, so imagine how good he's going to be in the Merc. Like,
yeah, I mean, he did get a P2 in the Williams.
Even though the race was cancelled after 5 laps.
probably slightly undeserved P2, but he's still... And then, of course, when he got into the Mercedes, covering for when Hamilton had COVID last year, you know, he should have rightly won the race, and arguably he sort of, inverted commas, did win the race. But I feel like it is going to be a huge change from him going from a team where there's not really one main driver to a team where there clearly is one main driver. And, you know, it is going to be slightly intimidating for him, being alongside a seven-time world champion.
Yeah. But what I've said about this is he could get taken under the wing here by one of the best drivers who we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And the amount of wisdom that this guy must possess about the sport that will get passed down to Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the luckiest young drivers out there, in my opinion, because he has such a great teammate to learn off.
Yeah, and, you know, arguably Lewis isn't going to be around for that much longer. His contract lasts till 2023, I believe. So, you know, is he going to renew after that?
Do you see him going back to McLaren?
I personally don't think he's going to renew after that, because he'll be 41 by then.
Oh my God, time's gone quick.
And, you know, F1 cars are very physical beings. And I don't know if he'll be able to do it. So, you know, Lewis might be like, okay, I'm
going
to focus on me for this, but I'm going to help George to become a good driver as well.
I mean, he's still got Schumacher's record looming over him as well. Surely he's going to want to break that.
Yeah.
Get that 8th title.
I think he definitely will want to get that.
Get that over and done with and then just go.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was what his plan was for this year, but...
Yeah. I've also
Michael Massey had something to put in the way of that.
Yeah. I also mentioned Toto Wolff. He was known for getting the best out of his drivers.
Yeah, yes. And of course the amazing team that is Mercedes.
Yeah, exactly. That was my last point. The amount of the team, I mean, pitting as well, he'll pit much faster.
Yeah, they've got a great pit stop team. Maybe not as good as Red Bull's, but still solid pit stop team.
Exactly.
Mercedes can't do a pit stop in 0G. Red Bull can. That's the only difference there. So my driver to watch, you know, whilst I was torn between this driver and Sebastian Vettel, I've gone with this driver because, you know, I think he is one of almost those wasted talents, and he reminds me a lot of Juan Pablo Montoya, who, you know, was wasted. And you know, I feel like this, you know, Daniel Ricciardo is a huge, huge talent. But again, similarly with Bottas and Lewis at Mercedes, he was the same with Verstappen at Red Bull. No, so I think, you know, he's now moved to a team where the drivers are equalish, and, you know, the cars are now equalish, and he's a really fast driver. You know, he's the king of the dive bomb, and I think he could really do well this season.
Yeah, especially now it's more based off skill as well.
Yeah, exactly.
His overtaking skills are really going to come in useful for him this season. And, well, if Lando does start like winning, doing very well, you think Ricciardo's going to sort of shift into that position of second driver again, just like he was at Red Bull?
I don't think so, because I think the way these two work is that they're good, you know, they're like Perez and Verstappen, they're really good teammates for each other. And, you know, going back to Monza, there was team orders not to overtake, and they did follow those team orders. So, you know, I think there could be a really good bond here, and I think McLaren definitely have high hopes for this coming season.
Do you
season.
Remember that point when there were two Ferraris ahead and both of them overtook them together?
Mm-hmm.
That was a very nice moment.
Yeah,
as well.
That was very good. So, you've got some dates coming for you for the future. So, we've got, you know, we're looming to pre-season testing. And we do have a few dates for car releases currently. We're still waiting on a few teams, but so far we've got Aston Martin, who are going to be the first team we know so far to release their car on February the 10th.
And we've got McLaren on February 11th.
Then Ferrari on February the 17th.
And then Mercedes in about a month on February 18th.
So, yeah, we've got some really big info coming. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to see. So we're still waiting on AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, Red Bull, Alpine, Haas and Williams. The calendar this coming season, I think, is one of the best ever. It's definitely a cool, cool calendar. So we're starting in Bahrain, moving to Saudi Arabia, the fastest street circuit in the world.
What, is that where we ended? We ended there, didn't we?
No, we ended in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. then moving over to Melbourne, then heading off to Imola again. Then, now this is the track I'm most excited for. So it's a brand new track. We've never seen it before.
Miami.
It's still under construction at the minute, but it looks beautiful. And I can't wait to see how that race is.
They're going to have two American Grand Prix now, aren't
they? Yeah, two American. I mean, they're definitely tapping into that American market, and it's a very good marketing play because there's a lot of money that is sitting around in NASCAR. That
it's
people
just America
could,
as well, isn't it?
Yeah, they could switch over to F1. So we then move to the Barcelona Grand Prix.
Heading, then we have Monaco, one of my favourite circuits as well. Then we also have Baku, and then
We got Montreal in Canada, then off to the UK for Silverstone, then to Austria for the Spielberg Grand Prix.
And then Le Castellet in France, Budapest in Hungary, and Spa in Belgium.
Then off to the Netherlands with the Zandvoort. Then we got Monza, of course, huge race, Sochi, and then off to Singapore for that amazing street circuit.
And then the last five races of the season are Suzuka in Japan, Austin for the second American Grand Prix of the season, Mexico City for Checo's home race, Sao Paulo in Brazil,
and then of course
we're finishing Abu Dhabi, where hopefully we'll get a race like that to end it.
Yeah, I mean, they reworked the track, took away some of the slow and horrible corners, frankly, and they definitely improved the racing of that track.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
So thank you all for listening to this week's Outside the Box podcast. We'll be joining you next week with a football special covering all the highlights from the Christmas break.
Yeah.
Hope you had a great new year, and we'll see you in the next one.